Let's begin with prayer. Father, we come to you. We want to be your house of prayer. We are so blessed to be together. We thank you for this beautiful facility. We're just getting acquainted with all the different facets that are provided here. And we just pray that you will bless every facet of the service so that we can really have the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding that we need to be the best Christians that you can possibly make us into. We want to be just like you, and we ask for your blessing on our understanding so that our understanding can become integrated into our very lives. We just thank you, God, that we can trust you for everything, that there's no better friend we could ever ask for, and we want to be best friends with you forever and ever. So we commit this time to you. We worship you. We praise you and thank you for being so good to us and for giving us a future that is incomprehensible with our physical minds at this point. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, last week we focused on wisdom, and there's a lot more to wisdom than meets the eye. And a really good way to gain wisdom is by reading the Proverbs. Of course, reading the entire Word of God, but reading the Proverbs one chapter every day and focusing on that. And that way, if you forget one day or whatever, and just pick up in the chapter of the day of the month, because there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. And so yesterday was Proverbs 24. And as I was reading it, I was motivated to follow up on wisdom, because it talks about knowledge and understanding in chapter 24 and spells it out for us. So we're going to dive into what all of you hopefully have read yesterday and see if we can see a little bit more deeply how we can have God's wisdom and what goes into that wisdom. But it starts right out here in Proverbs 24, verse 1. Do not envy wicked men. And we need to make sure we're looking at Scripture through the eyes of God rather than through our own understanding. Remember what it says in Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Now, that's the second one. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Knowledge leads to understanding, which leads to wisdom if we know how to do that. And so God's word spells that out for us so we know what God wants us to be doing and the process to acquire that wisdom that God freely gives to us. Just like he says there in James chapter 1, if any of you lack wisdom, just ask. When was the last time you asked for wisdom? Probably last week, because that's what we covered. And we said, make sure you're asking God for wisdom. Because if you don't ask, read the rest of those verses and it says, expect nothing, because that's exactly what we're going to get if you don't ask for it. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. So there's instructions that God gives to us that we need to know how to follow. So when he begins this chapter, he says, do not envy wicked men. Now, most of us don't think of people as being wicked the way God does, because God's perspective of wicked is when you are leaning to your own understanding. There's a way that seems right to a man. We've mentioned that at least 100,000 times, or maybe 100,001. That scripture just should be emblazoned in our minds. There's a way that seems right to a human being, and the ends thereof are the ways of what? Death. Most people do not believe that. And we need to make sure we understand that we do not lean to our own understanding, that we do not think that human beings have got it together, because we don't. And you can see that in the news media. You can see that on the radio, just anywhere you go. Human beings have the inclination to be evil, because human nature is the nature of Satan, the devil. We just need to be aware of that and to hear it enough so that we realize, God, without you, I can't do anything. I need your wisdom every second of the day, all day long, every day of the year. So he says, do not envy wicked men. Wicked men are just individuals that lean to their own understanding and say, wow, look at this guy. He's rich as a cob farmer. He's just rich as can be. Man, wouldn't that be so good? I'd like to be like that. God says, you don't want that. They're miserable. You just think, oh, no, they're not miserable. They got lots of money. You don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You don't know all the shenanigans that are going on because of the situation that they are in. Now, there's a way to handle it properly. If you lean to God's understanding, God can make you rich like he did Abraham. When he was Abram in Genesis 12, he was very rich. But we do not want to envy. Envy is an excessive desire for something. God does not want us to envy those things that individuals who are leaning to their own understanding are seeking. So we spend all our time searching and seeking something that this world holds in high esteem. And God says, don't go there. He says, I'll give that. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and I'll just give it to you if you're ready for it. I'll just give it to you. And I see that all the time. I see it all the time when individuals really put God first and foremost in their lives. They are blessed beyond belief because that's just who God is. Why would he hold anything back? He says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health. And so God wants to give those things to us. We just need to make sure we are seeking his will in our lives, as we've heard over and over and over again. So do not envy wicked men and do not desire their company. Well, if I just hang out with them, maybe some of that stuff will rub off. For their hearts plot violence. We had a conversation at our family meal last night, and it was just amazing. The eloquence that came out about all the corruption that's going on in every facet of the world, and on and on and on and on. And it was just unbelievable. Everywhere you look, corruption, sin, deceit. You can't trust anybody. The Bible tells us that. It says, trust no man. But it's just astounding that a lot of people don't realize that. It says, for their hearts plot violence anyway. I mean, if you knew what was going on in Afghanistan or back in Iraq, and you really knew what was going on behind the scenes, you'd have a heart attack. And we won't get into the details, but there's stuff going on behind the scenes in every war we have no knowledge about. Wars have been the story of history from the time of creation, war after war after war after war. And there's usually lust, vanity, and greed motivated behind every bit of it. And people pay horrendous prices for the human nature that is so filled with wickedness, the way that seems right to a human being and is perfectly justifiable because they have some excuse. For their hearts plot violence, and their lips talk about making trouble. Think war is trouble? It's been the history. Now he goes on here. Now he begins to explain, by wisdom, a house is built. Now we need to understand what wisdom is. We covered that last week. God is wisdom. If you want wisdom, ask God to give you more of him. And he is your wisdom. That's the only way to get true wisdom. Now you can get the wisdom of this world, and you can read around that in 1 Corinthians. And he says, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. So that's important to understand, because a lot of people say, well, if I could just get enough education, and there's nothing wrong with education. We need to have that. But the wisdom of this world is called, how can I take advantage of everybody so that I can get on the highest rung of the ladder and let everybody pay for what I'm going to take from them? That's the motivation, but it's all done in the preference of, well, we're going to look out for your best interest. And if you really understood what we were doing, then this is a blessing to you. Lies in every dimension you can possibly imagine. When we're in the kingdom and we get to talk to Jesus, he's going to tell us a lot of the stuff that's been going on behind the scenes, I would imagine. Anyway, by wisdom, a house is built. Ask God to direct your step. Ask God to put every word in your mouth so that it comes from him. That way, you're going to have wisdom coming from you, because that's who he is. He is wisdom. He's the wisdom came from God. And before you build a house, you need to find out where you're going to build it. It's not wise to build a house on a fault line. The first house we rented was right built on the exact fault line there in Almaden. And we were there for 4 years, and I was wondering when we were going to drop. But the deal was so good, we were willing to put up with it. But it's not wise to be building a house right on a fault line when you think about it, because the chances are somebody's going to commit a fault and you're going to go, no. Anyway, just think about wisdom is when you look at the situation and then ask God to show you what to do. Ask God to show you what to do, because wisdom comes from God and he will guide you and lead you. He'll put thoughts in your mind and you need to get confirmation from that. There's lots of different ways God can give you wisdom. And that comes from reading the word of God, as we'll see here. And through understanding, it is established. So if you're going to build a house, you need to make sure that you have a wise location, that you've got a good builder, and that you've got those factors figured out before you start going to all this trouble of building this beautiful home in a situation that may not be the wisest place to put it. But through understanding, it is established. Now, understanding is grasping the details of what would cause any problems that you're going to be facing. God gives understanding as well. But according to the dictionary, for example, if you listen to somebody and you don't speak Spanish and you don't what? You don't understand it. You got all the facts because they're telling you the facts, but they're in another language and you just don't get it. But when you understand the meaning of what is being said, all of a sudden the lights go on and say, oh, so that's what you're talking about. A lot of people read the Bible and it just goes right over their head because they have no understanding. The understanding, you understand spiritual language. Spiritual language is the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And I was reading Proverbs 24. I've read it many, many, many times. But each time it comes more alive because God gives you understanding to see how that applies to you in a personal way. I kind of just looked at knowledge and understanding and wisdom as basically being all the same thing. But they are. It's important to go through the process to start off and ask God for the wisdom because he's your source. And then he's got other sources where you have understanding and ask him to give you revelation or a grasp of what you are reading. What's this really talking about? Is this speaking spiritually or is this speaking physically? You just ask God, he'll make it clear to you because the scriptures are spiritually written. They are written by the Holy Spirit. And that's why it's so important to know the difference between whether you're speaking physically or spiritually as you read the scriptures. Through understanding, that house is established. Then through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasure. Now, when you have knowledge, for example, I know this one particular person who has a house full of antiques. I mean, there were so many antiques, there was no room to walk. But the antiques were beautiful. I mean, I wouldn't have a clue what an antique is worth because I haven't been really interested in antiques and so on. But then some of those things can be worth thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars that you know nothing about and you're just oblivious. But it says here, through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Now, what's that talking about? Now, most people would say, oh, well, that's talking about like antiques, like we're just talking about. And the house is talking about a physical house. And that physical house has walls and you can put pictures up there. And those pictures, if you have the Mona Lisa, it's probably worth $1 million or two or five or 20 or who knows? If somebody's willing to pay for that. But is it talking about a house? What are these treasures? See, physical human beings are looking for physical treasures. They want the rubies and the wealth. And there's nothing wrong with those things. But if that's what you are seeking above everything else, you are on a different wavelength than God. It's called a wicked wavelength. If that's your focus, if that's what your worship, you put that before God and all you want is just more antiques, more this, more this. And God is, that's right. Yeah. We worship. Who was that again? Oh, God. Yeah, that's right. I remember, you know, the last thought on the agenda. And it goes on. It's so important for us to understand that this house he's talking about is you, the church. And You are from God. God made you. He drew you into the church. He called you. Many are called. Few are chosen. You have been chosen by God. And if you want to be built, God tells us to build our house, our body, our lives upon the rock. 1 Corinthians 10:4. We need to be building our houses upon the rock. That rock was Jesus Christ. He is the one that is rock solid, that is not going to fizzle out like sand if you built your house on the beach. And the waves are going to erode it away for you. So by wisdom, a house is built. We need to have our house built by Jesus and ask him to live in us and to speak through us and to work through us, because this is the only way to get rich, rich in faith. You can't put a price on faith. You can't put a price on meekness. The meek shall inherit the earth. If you're not meek, you may not inherit the earth. You may be, inherit being a doorkeeper over the earth and so on. But God can't trust us if we don't have his faith. His faith is trust. We believe what he says because we're listening to him all the time. We pay attention to what he has to say. And then through knowledge, that's knowledge of God, his word, what he has to say, it needs to become our passion. Because through that knowledge, its rooms, your life and all the facets of your spiritual life, the rooms, all the things you, one of the rooms is where you work. Another room might be where you eat. Another room might be where you sleep. Another room might be, you know, any aspect of wherever you are located in your house, where you're working or what you're doing. Its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. What are those rare and beautiful treasures? Fruits of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will tell you that clearly, because all through the Bible, it says that's the only thing that's worth doing. We'll see that in the rest of the chapter. That's the only thing that is going to transcend the grave is the Holy Spirit working in you, your character that has been transformed by the Holy Spirit. When you die, that is the only thing that's going to heaven. Your body went to the grave, but went to heaven is your spirit. And your spirit has inscribed in it God's character. Your meekness, gentleness, faith, meekness, humility, self-control, all those things. Those are the things that God values, because when he gives you a job, when he says, I go and prepare a place for you, he gives you a job. It's really nice to not have to worry about all the setup that takes place here, because we have a fabulous crew here. I could take a whole hour bragging on each one of them, but they are so helpful in getting set up with the worship music and everything before church. It's a lot of work, and I don't have to worry about that. And it's a blessing to have individuals who are competent and capable that you trust and that you don't have to even worry about. And that's what God is training us to do, so that when he gives you a role in the kingdom, your mansion, in my Father's house are many mansions, you will be ready to roll. And so that's through knowledge. Its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. That's the very character of God. We all struggle with this human nature, and it's so easy to get angry. My biggest enemy for me is myself, because I get angry at myself when I do something stupid. But we need to ask God to take all that human nature and replace it with God's grace, even toward ourselves, so that we can love people the way God loves us. So just ask God to help you to love yourself the way God loves you, not the way you want to love yourself, where you just put yourself first above everything else, like the world does. They love themselves, but we need to love ourselves the way God does, where we are in love with God's perspective about us, so that we can love others with the same kind of love that he loves us. And that impresses God. He's very pleased. He says, to him, this man will I look, to him that is humble and contrite and trembles at my word. Now let's go on. It says, a wise man has great power. Because individuals who have used wisdom, they generally, God gives them a vision. In the Old Testament, God was giving his people visions all the time. And today, God gives us visions through the Holy Spirit, a vision of what God wants you to be like, a vision spelled out in the scriptures of how to take care of responsibilities you have as a Christian that maybe you didn't even know you had. We're going to see that in the rest of this chapter. But a wise man has great power because God gives them vision, a perspective, a big picture. I love this. I think I'm going to mention this in every sermon for the rest of my life because it's so priceless, is to just realize that we're going to be reigning with Jesus Christ in his throne. The meek shall inherit the earth. We're going to inherit everything. Why would we be so concerned about one house when you'll own them all? You'll be in control. You have everything, and you're going to have God's character. You won't lack anything, and that we're going to be married to the creator of the universe. I love to share that with people because it's incomprehensible. A wise man has great power. When you've got this vision, the world has no clue about that unless a person is a Christian and they read the Bible, they find out, wow, this is amazing, staggering beyond comprehension. Wow. And to be able to share that with somebody and show them in the scriptures, that is if they ask. Now, the only way they're going to ask is if you ask God to help them to ask. And then you set such an example that they're going to want to listen to you, and they're going to even believe you in the first place because you are going to be exhibiting love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, humility, and self-control, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. When you are exhibiting those things, people are going to want to know more because God knows you are going to give them the truth, and the truth can set them free from worry, fear, anxiety, the things that everybody's just pulling their hair out over. And we have the solution, and he gives it to us. It's right here. It's so phenomenal. A man of knowledge increases strength. Now, physically speaking, if they're a man of knowledge and so forth, he's going to go out and he's a king or whatever. He's going to get a big army and he's going to be the most powerful and so forth. But what God's telling us is a man of knowledge increases strength because you're going to be a stronger Christian. The more knowledge you have of God's word, then God can draw that back into you, because God isn't going to put knowledge into your head that you didn't put there in the first place. He's got to, you know, it's like going to the bank and you never put any money in there. You got to put knowledge into your mind, and that knowledge comes from the word of God. Just keep asking God to fill you with knowledge, because knowledge is the nuts and the bolts. Those are the things that help together to have the understanding, where you have the discernment to know exactly what to do, and the wisdom is putting it into action. But we need to get those nuts and bolts going. We need to get the foundation laid so that it's based on the knowledge of God. Like God says, the knowledge of God is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And we have that available to us. For waging war, you need guidance. If you're going to war, now we're going to war because our battle is with the devil. And we have a secret. We've already won. You don't have to be afraid of it, because faith is the opposite of worry. You don't have to be worried about Satan. Just make sure you do what Jesus said. Now, Jesus tells us exactly what to do. He says, pray, lead us not into sore trial, but deliver us from evil, or the evil one. That should be our daily prayer, not just speaking it off the top of your head or whatever. It needs to be from our heart and say, God, thank you that you have given me deliverance from evil. That doesn't even have to be a temptation, because as long as you are living in me, you're not tempted of the devil. The devil may tempt you, but look what Jesus did. He just quoted scripture because he was reading it. And that's what we need to be doing, is be ready by having the knowledge of the scriptures, so that when we are being tempted, the scripture will come to mind and Satan will take a hike. Because Satan's going to keep looking. He's going to keep knocking on your door to see if there's any crack in the door. And so just keep filling your mind with the word of God. And that's your knowledge that leads to understanding, that will cause you to make wise decisions. And it's something we all can grow in. So for waging war, you need guidance. That's why I recommended that, so that you can have help, have a friend that you can read the Proverbs with. And that way you can be building up that most holy faith, and you can strengthen one another. You can love one another. What greater way than to share that with another Christian and read the scriptures together? It can be husband with wife. It can be with your close friends. There's a friend that sticks closer to than a brother. someone in whom the Holy Spirit lives, they can be your best friends. And that's priceless. So he says, for waging war, if you want to fight with them, you need guidance. That guidance comes from the Holy Spirit. It's where understanding comes from. Say, God, give me understanding of this scripture. What is this speaking to me? I want to make sure that I'm not missing what you're trying to tell me as I read this scripture, because there's depth. The word of God is so deep. The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it gets right down to the heart and core of life itself. And for victory, need many advisors. If you want to have success as a Christian, you need many advisors. That's what fellowship is. That way we share our troubles. We pray together. We even now have online, we have before services, we have a time where you can bring prayer requests and so on, and we can pray together about various things. And that's a wonderful privilege that we have to give us victory because of many advisors. These advisors, in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. And we can get counsel from each other when we discuss things together and say, well, what are your thoughts about this? Have you got any recommendations? And then you can take it to God and pray about it. If you go into a battle, the ones in a physical battle waging war, you need to have a lot of good advice, because there's lots of other perspectives that you may not think about, and you may not know about this other encampment down here that is ready to attack you and eat your lunch. But if you've got good counsel and you've got lots of people that you can talk to, they can, you know, save your bacon. It'll save your neck if you have good advice and you've got individuals who know the scriptures that can guide you and pray with you and lead you. That's why being a part of the church is one of the most priceless gifts you could ever ask for, is having friends that you know are going to be faithful. And so if you want to have victory in this direction of wisdom, you have many advisors. Now, we also have 70 advisors. Did you know about the 70 advisors we have? That's all the books in the Bible. There's 70 books in the Bible. Did you know that? Because Psalms is divided into 5 books. That 66 adds up to 70. But each one of those books is written by an advisor. And we have access to 70 advisors. And that's why God tells us, if you want to have victory, you have many advisors. So we certainly can't fault God for not giving us enough advisors. Wisdom, verse 7, is too high for a fool. In the assembly at the gate, he has nothing to say because he's not knowledgeable of the scriptures. If you want to be knowledgeable of the scriptures, all you have to do is start. And just start reading and ask God to give you understanding, and you will be thrilled you did that. Guaranteed. It'll transform your life dramatically. But in the assembly at the gate, he has nothing to say because he doesn't know what's important. The word of God is what is important. Verse 8, he who plots evil will be known as a schemer. And this is what we need to be careful about and to avoid, because if you want to have wisdom, he who plots evil, do you know what the evil is? Evil is human nature. It's called selfishness. That's what motivates most people, is vanity, lust, and greed, or selfishness, where you just, I want to get ahead. Whatever I have to do to get ahead, rather than giving God your allegiance, giving him your time, giving him your heart, then God will just, like he says, seek you first the kingdom of God, and he'll give you everything. And he does. It's just phenomenal. But he who plots evil, in other words, he's always thinking about how they can bless themselves instead of asking God to take care of that, will be known as a schemer. What is a schemer? A schemer is somebody who's always got an ulterior motive, and they're trying to cover it up. That's why you need to be very careful about your closest friends and so on. Make sure that they are being led by the Holy Spirit and not by the human spirit, because going gets rough. You got to make sure that you can trust that person. Look at their example. Do you see the fruits of the Holy Spirit in their life? That is what we need to look for, because that is the kind of counsel you want from somebody who is exhibiting all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The schemes of folly are sin. There's a wage that seems right to a man, but it ends in death. The wages of sin is death. So there's the way that seems right to a human being is sin. Can we see that? How that fits like a hand in a glove. The schemes of folly are sin. These shenanigans, these selfish motivations and so on. We need to ask God to give us his agape love, which is an outgoing concern for others, so that we're always looking out for the best interest of others. And then God will look out for your best interests. But God can tell you to love your neighbor more than you do yourself. He says to love your neighbor as you do yourself. God is no respecter of persons, even for when it comes to you. He goes on to say, the schemes of folly are sin, and men detest a mocker. A mocker is always shooting his own opinions out about this, that, and the other thing, and so on. We need to be careful, make sure that what we have to say is going to be edifying, because it's so easy to just let our opinions fly in all different directions. I've been guilty of that, and I know we all are from time to time, but God wants us to be careful, because people, they're not going to be edified by somebody who's always finding fault with everything. Somebody that's a mocker, that's always a complainer about this and a complainer about that, rather than being a solution person. And we can go back into the news media and so forth, but that, I think that's the perfect example of something that you cannot trust. I remember speaking with someone about what was going on in Vietnam. Somebody was sending the newspapers over to the person who was on the front lines or over there in the midst of the war. And you know what the person who was over in the front lines had to say? Everything you're reading is just not true. It's totally different than what you think it's. Because people are giving opinions. Even some of the newspapers say, here's the opinion, this, opinions, there, opinions. And you just can't pin everything on somebody's opinion. That's why we need the word of God rather than believing anything anybody says that is not, that you can't be sure to trust, because you see the fruits of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Just be careful. You need to love them. Even if they're your enemies, you need to love them. God loves the whole world, all the people, not the sin. So men detest a mocker. We need to be, let everything be done to edify. That's something we can all work on. I know I need to work on that, to make sure that everything that I say is edifying and it's not just criticizing. And it's so easy to do that. I just did it, you know, with the news media. We need to be thankful that we have news media in the U.S. that's different from Russia. You know, how would you like to get that news media? At least we have some truth in our news media. Verse 10, if you falter in times of trouble, how small is your strength? And so when the going gets rough, the rough get going. And we need to make sure that when things are going poorly or things are rough and difficult, that is the time to hang on to God and just say, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I just can't deal with this, but I know I can give it to you and you can handle this, because God will help you no matter what trial that you're in. And if you begin to falter, reach out to God, cry out to God. That is wisdom. This is showing us what to do. This is giving us understanding about what to do so that you can have wisdom. If you begin to falter and you begin to have doubts and fears and worries and all the rest of that, that should be a big red flag. Fears and worries and doubts are all of the devil. They're not of God. When was the last time you heard God worrying about anything or having any fears or any doubts? He's got it together. God is God, and we want more of him, and that will dissipate all those doubts, fears, and worries and anxieties, all that stuff. It's a sin. God says, fear not. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear is the opposite of faith. I mean, these things are priceless to know and to understand. This is a gift from God that you don't have to worry about anything. That is priceless. We need to be concerned and make sure that we ask God for wisdom on how to deal with these trials that we face. But now he tells us what to do here. Verse 11, rescue those being led away to death. Now, physically speaking, but we saw that in action. I watched a movie about that, about how some families were rescuing some of those people over in Germany when they were going to the concentration camps, and they hid them in their basements and so on. But that is physical, and that's a good thing to do. And we need to be individuals that are helping people who are headed for death. But there's a way that seems right, and it ends up in the way of death. You might have the opportunity to be able to help somebody who's heading in the wrong direction and heading in the direction of the way that seems right to them. And you can save them from a lot of trouble because you might know a scripture that could be helpful. But of course, you need to wait till they ask. Or you can bring up circumstances in your own life on maybe how you had to learn the hard way, and don't mention to them that they need to put that into practice. Just things that you've learned. If that's of any use, whatever. But rescue those being led away to death. Befriend, help, encourage, build up, strengthen. These are the things that God is giving us. He's giving us wisdom, because if you want to be really happy, help people. People are made in the image of God, and they need help. And you can help them by loving them, by listening to them, by caring about them, by praying with them, by praying for them. That is going to be more beneficial to your emotional health than all the metformin in the world, whatever drug it is that's supposed to make you happy. If you say, but we knew nothing about this, you know, when you had an opportunity to help somebody and truly you knew that God was speaking to you, you need to help that person. Oh, I just don't have to. I just don't. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. And you come up with all these excuses. But if you say, but we knew nothing about this, does not he who weighs the heart perceive this? This is God just telling you, he's watching us. That's all. He's watching us, and he wants to know he can trust us. Because before, you remember, Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back and receive you to myself, and that you'll be with me forever. But he's watching us right now. He wants to see that we're going to be trustworthy servants that are going to do the things that Jesus did. What was Jesus doing? He was always helping people. He was praying for them. He was healing them. The Father through him was healing people. When you pray for somebody, you don't know if God's going to heal them now or 10 years from now. I'll never forget. I had this back problem that I went and was prayed for in St. Louis by Ken Mattson. And I was prayed for and anointed, and nothing happened. Nothing happened for 10 days. And 10 days later, God healed me, and I have never had a problem since. And I had that problem for years and years. So don't underestimate what God can do, when he can do it. He may choose to wait like he did with Abraham 25 years before giving him the son that he promised. But trust him. Just trust him. And keep asking and say, God, I know you're going to do what's best for me. If we just say, well, you know, I didn't know about this. You know, when you really did, does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it? Will not he repay each person according to what he has done? If you want God's blessing, then you need to bless others. That's how it works. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Ever thought about the fact that do unto others as you would want God to do for you? Because he's the one that backs up his word. Eat honey, my son, for it is good. Honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. Know also that wisdom is sweet to your soul. And if you find it, there is a future hope for you. Because wisdom is God. When you find God and you find his word, and this becomes your passion and your life's mission, your desire. If you find it, there is a future hope for you. That hope is called the resurrection. Read it in 1 Corinthians 15. The hope of the resurrection. The resurrection is when all our troubles are out of here. No more flesh, no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more pain, no more death, no more any of that stuff. And we're going to be like Jesus, who rises above everything, even into the clouds. And of course, he can traverse the universe at the speed of thought. That's what we have ahead for us. Your hope. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, because that's what the scriptures reveal. And your hope will not be cut off. Do not lie in wait like an outlaw against a righteous man's house. Do not raid his dwelling place. For though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. So God's telling us what we need to do. When you get shot down five times, you're not righteous until you get up seven times. But then God multiplies that times seven. He says, how many times are you supposed to forgive? How about 70 times seven? In other words, unlimitless. God wants us to be like him. His forgiveness is forever. But the wicked are brought down by calamity because it's God-inspired. And God brings that about. Three more verses here. But it says here, do not fret because of evil men or be even envious of the wicked, for the evil man has no future hope because they're all around the physical, and the physical is going to be burned all up. And the lamp of the wicked will be snuffed out because it's physical. You cannot snuff out the lamp of a Christian, a true Christian, because Jesus is that lamp. For the fear of the Lord and the King, my son, and do not join with the rebellious. Those two will send sudden destruction upon them. Those two is the Lord and the boss man. Fear the Lord and the King, my son, and do not join with the rebellious. For those two, the Lord and the King, will send sudden destruction upon them. And who knows what calamities they can bring. Now, there's further sayings, but our time has run out. You can read the rest of the chapter because it's jam-packed with more knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And every bit of it is worth its weight in gold. So if you want to be rich, read the rest of the chapter. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you very much that you have given us everything, that we're going to be reigning over this entire earth with you. And that is pure grace, Father, because we do not deserve that at all. But we want to be your children in whom you are well pleased. And we are so thankful to be a part of your body, the church. To be called to be a part of your church is incomprehensible when we really understand what the church is going to be and how the church is going to be that new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. God, we look forward to that time with great anticipation. And we know we don't have to fear death. Even though we lost John, we know he has nothing to fear. His future is secure. And we just ask for your guidance over his family and relatives and so forth as they deal with the loss. And we just ask for you to be with us as we deal with each other and with our families and relatives and friends and everybody that we meet, that we will have your wisdom, your knowledge, and your understanding, so that everything we do and say will be to your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.